They spent their life savings on life coaching. The New York Times. Some people who wanted to improve their lives and careers through coaching found themselves trapped in what they described as a pyramid scheme. By Katie Bishop. To an outsider, Balejo Mullet is someone who has her head firmly screwed on. She's smart and educated, a registered nurse who works for a medical insurance provider and balances her career with a busy family life. In many ways, Ms. Mullet, who lives in Manoa, New York, seems to have things figured out, which is why she's still reeling from a life coaching experience she described as a pyramid scheme that took tens of thousands of dollars from her. "I'm an intelligent human being," Ms. Mullet, 46, said. "We all think that it'll never happen to us. That's the really scary part." She is part of a growing cohort, speaking out against the often opaque underbelly of life coaching, an unregulated industry with an often hefty price tag and a significant cost reaching far beyond funds spent. With early roots in the late 20th century pull toward self-improvement, life coaching broadly encompasses a program of goal setting and talk therapy style sessions aimed at improving an individual's circumstances and well-being. Business is booming. The International Coaching Federation, the world's largest nonprofit coaching association, estimated that the industry was worth $4.6 billion in 2022 and that the number of coaches increased 54% between 2019 and 2022. Because the industry lacks standardized accreditation, it's most likely larger. One of the dangers of life coaching is that anyone can claim the title of life coach. And while many operate with integrity, providing thoughtful and structured advice to their clients to help them through challenging times, the unregulated nature of the industry can make it easy to take advantage of people. An expensive dream. In 2018, Ms. Mullet was tiring of the grind of the corporate world and struggling to form a blended family with her now husband when she discovered life coaching. "My friend recommended a podcast, and I immediately felt that this is what I'd been looking for," she said. "The host was talking about how our thoughts impact our emotions and our behaviors. I was hooked." Ms. Mullet started to watch videos on the host's website. The host, a life coach whom Ms. Mullet has asked not to be named for fear of retaliation and harassment, combined the language of successful businesswomen with the promise of a new career in which women could be in control of their own work and schedule, help others, and improve themselves. There were videos talking about how your brain is the most valuable thing you can invest in, Ms. Mullet said. She withdrew $18,000 from her 401k to pay for her first course at a life coach school, hoping that it would lead to a much-needed career change. The course wasn't what she expected. Ms. Mullet described a confusing and low-quality program of online lessons, 1 hour per week for 6 months, in which aspiring life coaches discussed chapters they had read outside of class and practiced coaching one another. She said that students were often belittled and that questioning the wisdom of the coaches who led the course was discouraged. But Ms. Mullet remained hopeful and believed she had learned some valuable things. For example, that she had an ability to focus only on the things in her life that she could control. She had spent an extraordinary amount of money on the certification and clung to the dream that she'd been sold. Earning good money while fulfilling her passion for helping others was possible. "It's hard to let go of that dream," she said. After completing the program, Ms. Mullet was certified by the school and hoped to start coaching, but although she had initially been told that her certification would give her everything I needed to make my first $100,000, Ms. Mullet found herself short of clients and scrambling to make any income. The solution that she was offered? To spend more money on being coached. "How can you sell someone on the value of coaching if you're not paying for coaching yourself?" she said she was told. Ms. Mullet felt pressured to increasingly spend substantial sums on coaching classes and business mentoring, supposedly to help bolster her fledgling career. She started with a $2,000 course, and when it seemed to elevate her business slightly, enrolled in a similar course that cost $5,000, and then spent an additional $10,000 on coaching. "I wasn't making money," she said. "I was spending money." Vulnerable to exploitation, Mair O'Sullivan, a lecturer in marketing at Munster Technological University in Ireland and an expert on multi-level marketing schemes, said schemes like the one that Ms. Mullet had been drawn into were part of the reason for the life coaching industry's rapid growth. The boom is being fueled by an appetite for life coaching, but it's also being fueled by artificial means, Ms. O'Sullivan said. There is a problem in the industry of coaches who coach coaches to become coaches. Although surveys suggest that coaches charge an average of $244 an hour, this fee is most likely skewed by a handful of top industry names who charge thousands for an hourly session. Some charges over $6,000 for a half-day session and $200,000 for 50-hour packages. A majority of coaches are also limited by demand. Most report coaching for around 11 hours per week. This means that many coaches have to expand their businesses through other methods. This may be by employing other life coaches and taking a cut of their profits, creating what is known as a downline, or by selling things like coaching certifications to their follower base. Sunny Richards was first introduced to life coaching by a friend. Ms. Richards, 52, lives in Dallas and previously made six figures working as a project manager in information technology. She had been struggling with loneliness after being forced to relocate for her husband's job and being laid off from two jobs within the span of 18 months. She said she was in a state of depression when she signed up for a life coaching course, which cost her $300 per month. For Ms. Richards, this was the beginning of six emotionally and financially devastating years. She upgraded her course to one that cost around $3,000 per month in the hope of becoming certified as a life coach. Once she became certified, she said she was bombarded by other coaches trying to sell her additional courses or qualifications. The industry eats itself, she said. There were celebrity coaches, and then there was the rest of us, and the rest of us were competing for coaching space. Although Ms. Richards became skeptical of the industry, she said that her stubbornness made her stick with it. I'm not a quitter, she said. I saw the issues a long time ago, but walking away was too difficult. Ms. O'Sullivan said that this experience was common among people who found themselves pulled into life coaching's expensive offerings. Life coaching attracts people who are vulnerable to exploitation, she said. The pinnacle of this exploitation has been exposed by recent high-profile legal battles and criminal charges against several coaching organizations. In the United States, the founder of Nexium, a multi-level marketing scheme and sex cult that started as an executive success coaching program, was convicted of human trafficking, sex offenses, and fraud in 2019. In Britain, a life coaching organization called Lighthouse was recently shut down after members said they were isolated from friends and family, told to cut down on mental health medications, and encouraged to sell their houses to pay for mentoring. Coaching is a self-regulated industry, which means that anyone can establish a coaching practice regardless of their training or professional background, said Carrie Abner, the vice president of credentials and standards at the International Coaching Federation, in a statement. She said that clients should make sure they were working with trained and experienced coaches who had credentials. Ms. Abner said the coaches with credentials from the International Coaching Federation agreed to abide by a code of ethics. If a client feels a coach has acted in a way that is out of alignment with professional or ethical standards, the client has a formal process available to them to hold that coach accountable, she said. An industry with two sides. Stories like Ms. Richards are familiar to Eva Collins, who found life coaching after she became heavily involved in yoga and self-improvement around 2010. Ms. Collins, 40, was a life coach for several years and worked on the sales and marketing teams of some of the most prominent coaches in the industry. This is where she started to notice the insidious pyramid scheme element of many of these businesses. They bully people for money, she said. You're not allowed to question the main coach. You're not allowed to dissent. Ms. Collins, who lives in Sacramento, now runs an Instagram page that shares anonymous comments about some of the worst life coaching offenders. She said she received dozens of messages per week from people who had been plunged into debt. Some even had to remortgage their houses to pay for coaching. Ms. Collins believes that many trained life coaches are legitimate and doing good work, but said the industry also had a serious issue with scammers. Most people get into life coaching because they love helping and supporting people, she said. They don't start out thinking that they're going to mess people up or take all their money. But sometimes that's what happens. For Ms. Mullet and Ms. Richards, the process of removing themselves from the world of life coaching has been long and difficult. Ms. Mullet said she had to seek therapy for financial and emotional damage, and after leaving the industry last year, she has struggled with the guilt and shame of having spent so much time and money on what she now views as an elaborate scam. Ms. Richards estimated that she spent well over $30,000 on life coaching and said that she was consistently spending more than she was making. Still, the decision to step away was not an easy one. Coming to terms with finally letting go is emotionally devastating, she said. This was going to be my dream. I went from six figures with benefits and a 401k to desperately trying to find a minimum wage job at a time when I thought I would be at the pinnacle of my career. I didn't think I'd be trying to start over at 52. This was not how I saw the story ending. When therapists lose their licenses, some turn to the unregulated life coaching industry instead. Despite past misconduct, some former therapists have continued their careers as life coaches. Now, after a high-profile conviction in Utah, legislators are asking whether it's time for more oversight. From ProPublica, by Jessica Miller. A frustrated woman recently called the Utah official in charge of professional licensing, upset that his office couldn't take action against the life coach she had seen. Mark Steinigel recalls the woman telling him, "I really think that we should be regulating life coaching because this person did a lot of damage to me." Reports about life coaches who sell the promise of helping people achieve their personal or professional goals come into Utah's Division of Professional Licensing about once a month. But much of the time, Steinigel or his staff have to explain that there is nothing they can do. If the woman had been complaining about any of the therapist professionals overseen by DOPL, Steinigel's office might have been able to investigate and potentially order discipline, including fines. But life coaches aren't therapists and mostly unregulated across the United States. They aren't required to be trained in ethical boundaries the way therapists are, and there is no universally accepted certification for those who work in the industry. Simply put, anyone can call themselves a life coach, an industry that is rapidly growing. The International Coaching Federation has estimated that in 2022, active life coaches generated more than $4.5 billion in revenue worldwide. But with that growth have come complaints by clients about mistreatment by their life coaches and growing calls for some type of oversight. In California, a woman sued her life coach in 2020, claiming the coach convinced her to sign over her home to the coach's nonprofit organization. She settled her lawsuit and got the title to her home back. A Connecticut life coach was given probation after he was charged last year with stealing money from a client with a traumatic brain injury. And this year, a Nevada life coach was sentenced to a year in jail after he admitted to taking money from clients that was supposed to be used for investments on their behalf, but that he spent at casinos instead. In Utah, there's a heightened sense of urgency after a therapist-turned-life coach named Jody Hildebrandt was sentenced to prison after abusing two of her business partner's children. One former client, who was not a part of Hildebrandt's criminal case, also flagged concerns about how she conducted life coaching with him. Ethan Pete told the Salt Lake Tribune and ProPublica that Hildebrandt had ordered him to cut off contact with friends and family and at one point asked him to live in a tent in order to humble himself. He also said Hildebrandt told him she didn't want to be limited by the regulations therapists have to follow in Utah. She was like, "Without all these rules and regulations, now I have free rein to actually change people's lives because the system is corrupt," Preet said. Right now, the only Utah rules that apply kick in when life coaches diagnose clients or develop plans to manage mental health conditions. When that happens, Utah licensors can cite them with what's known as unauthorized practice. But a records analysis by the Tribune and ProPublica shows citations and fines are seldom used and aren't always effective. Some life coaches have been cited for this multiple times. Prosecutors can also file criminal charges, but a review of court records shows that no such cases have been brought against a life coach in at least a decade. For more than a year, the Tribune and ProPublica have investigated obstacles that Utahns face when seeking justice against medical providers who they say hurt them, including what happens when they go to state licensors to file complaints. An August investigation by the news organization showed how patients of a Utah County therapist had reported alleged inappropriate touching to both state licensers and local leaders within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Neither group reported the therapist to law enforcement. Both said they take allegations of sexual assault seriously and indicated that they had addressed the complaints through their own processes. The Tribune and ProPublica's reporting led to a police investigation, and that therapist was charged last summer with nearly a dozen felonies. He's expected to enter a plea in August. In light of the growth of the life coaching industry, Steinigel said he feels there's a legitimate question that he plans to work with state legislators to address. Has life coaching become one of those fields where the potential harm to people who are vulnerable is great enough, he asks, that the government should step in and regulate it? I think both the legislature and we, from what we've seen, especially in the last few years, we think the answer is probably yes. Promises to rewire your brain, untangle your chaos. The scope of what life coaches can offer is undefined and broad. They can promise to help someone lose weight, run their business, change their parenting style, have better sex, or improve other aspects of their lives. On stage at a recent natural health and wellness conference in Utah, near tables advertising essential oils, drink supplements, and chiropractic adjustments, one life coach told assembled audiences she could help women reach their weight loss goals. Her year-long course cost $800. Next on the program were a couple who, based upon their experiences of both twice being divorced, said they could help people untangle their emotional chaos. Another life coach advertised that he could rewire your brain to rid yourself of anxiety. When licensors hear complaints about life coaches, they are most often from the customers themselves, or from a concerned family member or therapist whose patient disclosed past care from a life coach that seemed questionable, said Steinigel, DOPL's director. Investigators in his office usually ask dissatisfied clients the same questions. Did they diagnose you? Did they create a treatment plan? Did they treat you for anxiety, depression, or another mental health disorder? If the person lodging the complaint answers no to these questions, Steinigel said DOPL can't do anything. The public also can't see any of the specific grievances that have been made against Utah life coaches because of this catch-22. DOPL doesn't release complaints unless they result in disciplinary action, and DOPL can't discipline life coaches. A review of records shows that DOPL has cited 25 people for unauthorized practice in the mental health field in the last decade, a number that included four life coaches and at least one online influencer offering therapy services. It appears citations have been successful a handful of times, including with the online influencer, who stopped offering those services on her Patreon account. But at least two men have been cited for unauthorized practice multiple times and still continue working as life coaches. One was cited twice by licensors, in 2012 and then again a year later, and now runs a program that trains life coaches. He had previously worked as a therapist, according to public records, but his license had expired. In his second citation, licensors fined him $1,000 after they said he advertised himself as a psychotherapist in a marketing brochure for a seven-day retreat. Another man, Denim Slade, the name is really Denim Slade, was cited and fined $250 just 3 months after he surrendered his therapy license after DOPL received two reports that he engaged in inappropriate conduct with female clients. DOPL cited him, according to public records, for advertising that he did lifespan integration therapy and could treat trauma in his life coaching business. A year later, he was cited again for unauthorized practice after DOPL received reports that he continued to advertise that he treated mental health issues like depression, anxiety, trauma, and post-traumatic stress disorder. The life coach told a DOPL investigator he didn't realize those posts were still active after he gave up his license and he agreed to remove them. Denim Slade told the Tribune and ProPublica that he has never conducted therapy or mental health treatment as a life coach. He admitted that in his therapy practice, he had allowed some mild boundaries to be crossed with one client, but he also said the DOPL records did not contain the full picture and that he felt pressured to admit doing something wrong after licensors received a second report years later. He denied that allegation, but rather than fighting it, he decided to relinquish his license and turn to life coaching. I was excited at the prospect of working with an appropriate coaching population and transitioning to helping people who are already doing fairly well in their lives and wanting but not necessarily knowing how to excel, Denim Slade said. And he said while he feels there could be some overlap between life coaching and therapy, he believes these are two definably different populations with different needs. I do not think life coaches should be conducting therapy. He also said he believes there are already safeguards in place for people doing mental health work that requires a license, and it's already against the law to practice therapy without a license. I think people ought to be able to hire someone to help them with things in their lives they want extra help with, he said. Do you regulate someone wanting to get help organizing their house or teaching art to their kids, teaching piano, coaching little league sports? I don't know where that line should be. Therapist organizations in Utah have been a driving force in advocating for some measure of state oversight of life coaches. Regulation really helps keep them in their lane, us in our lane, and just increases consumer safety all around, said Sarah Stroop, a licensed therapist who is on the legislative committee for the Utah Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. Jessica Black, a licensed therapist who works with the legislature in her role with the Utah Mental Health Counselors Association, said she sees particular vulnerabilities when life coaches try to help someone struggling with their mental health. There's a difference between a business coach coaching you on how to build a business, Black said, but when you're dealing with somebody's mental health or when you're dealing with their life, that's how people get taken advantage of. When therapists become life coaches. There have been Utah therapists who have lost their licenses for misconduct who, despite being deemed unsafe to work with patients, have still been able to continue their careers working in the mental health field, often in the unregulated realm of life coaching. At least 43 Utah mental health professionals have surrendered their licenses or had them revoked, denied, or expired on suspension since 2010, according to a review of publicly available DOPL disciplinary records. Of those, it appears that a third have continued working in mental health, according to searches of LinkedIn profiles and business websites, as mental health associates, motivational speakers, and life coaches. Some of those who have continued to work with clients on their mental health or well-being had lost their therapy licenses for serious reasons, DOPL records show. Several struggled with drug or alcohol abuse. Others lost their licenses after being accused of having inappropriate contact with patients, including Denim Slade, who admitted in 2013 he had an inappropriate relationship with a married client. He gave up his license in 2019 after another patient reported to DOPL that he had engaged in inappropriate physical and verbal conduct with her. He denied this accusation in licensing records. A second therapist was charged with sexual exploitation by a medical care professional in Idaho, and a third touched a teenage girl's leg and torso during a therapy session in an effort to sexually stimulate her as part of a therapeutic technique. This man subsequently got his license back and then was again accused of unprofessional conduct. He has now agreed to stop practicing entirely, including as a life coach, while DOPL and the police investigate. Steinigle said it's very frustrating when therapists who lose their licenses continue doing mental health work as life coaches. He also said that while licensors can't prohibit them from working in the unregulated field of life coaching, investigators often keep a close eye on such coaches to ensure they don't cross into therapy. In Hildebrand's case, she deliberately... In Hildebrand's case, it appears she deliberately decided to leave the regulated field of therapy. Over a decade ago, in 2012, promotional materials for her self-help company leaned into her credentials as a licensed therapist and experience as an addiction counselor. But after more than a decade of running Connections, spelled with an X like an asshole, classroom, Hildebrand had changed her website. References to her credentials as a therapist were gone, and she instead began calling herself a life coach. At the time, she was still licensed as a clinical mental health worker and could have used that designation. I began practicing in the psychotherapy world and my patients were not healing, she wrote on her website in 2022. When I began empowering people by educating them with the principles of truth, learning to be honest, responsible, and humble, I saw my patients radically change right in front of me. Preet, the former client, met Hildebrand as he was struggling in his marriage during the pandemic and after the birth of their first child. His now ex-wife wanted to try the Connections program, he said. The help he was seeking came with a cost. To start, he had to pay a monthly charge to participate in a group video call every Saturday morning. He paid another weekly fee to be part of a men's small group. On top of that, he paid weekly to meet one-on-one with Hildebrand. In total, he was spending more than $1,000 a month. I would meet with her every week for almost a year, he said of Hildebrand. And it was always like, your wife is going to leave you. If you ever want to see her again, you'll do what I say. After Hildebrand told him to cut off contact with friends and relatives, he said he was living separately from his family, and Hildebrand told him and his wife not to speak to each other. Hildebrand, he said, had complete control. Hildebrand is currently in prison, and DOPL revoked her license as a clinical mental health worker in May in response to her child abuse convictions. Her attorney did not respond to a list of questions sent to him for this article. A moment for Utah. In the final days of Utah's 2024 legislative session, Kevin Frunk, the father of the children abused by Hildebrand, made a plea to lawmakers in a letter, asking them to pass a bill that would require life coaching registration. He wrote about the impact of being a client of Hildebrand's with his now ex-wife, how his marriage ended, and how his children were deeply harmed. All of it, he wrote, had been at the directive of a dangerous mental health professional who believes that she could act outside the ethical balance of her profession by labeling herself as a life coach. Frunk also asserted that Utah's culture makes its citizens particularly vulnerable. The state's attorney general has acknowledged that Utah has held a decades-long reputation for being the fraud capital of the United States. That's in large part because of a local culture of trust in institutions among members of the dominant religion, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Investment fraud, targeting LDS church members, Ponzi schemes, and scams carried out in a style that mimics Utah's significant multi-level marketing industry are prevalent in the state. Black, the therapist with the Utah Mental Health Counselors Association, said that's why Utah legislatures should lead in regulating life coaches. I think this is a national problem. I think Utah is unique in the sense that they very easily bought into MLMs, she said, about multi-level marketing. That's kind of the structure a lot of these life coaches. The more you pay, the more access you get, and the more perks you get. Legislators in a handful of other states have tried to enact some oversight, but so far, no proposals have become law. New Hampshire legislators debated a bill in 2019 that would have studied whether life coaches should be regulated. The bill didn't pass. 2 years later, in Oregon, legislators considered establishing a voluntary registry for those who provide alternative therapy like life coaches. It also would have allowed the state to impose discipline for certain violations, but the measure failed after several life coaches pushed back. Coaching is not, nor claims to be, a form of therapy, one Oregon coach wrote. Coaching is partnering with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximize their personal and professional potential. Life coaches are not required to be certified by the International Coaching Federation or any other organization. There's no Utah ICF chapter, and the ICF did not respond to interview requests. The ICF did release a statement to the New York Times, which recently reported the experiences of several people who felt they had been tricked into paying for courses to become life coaches as part of a pyramid scheme. Carrie Abner, the vice president of credentials and standards at the ICF, told the newspaper that coaching is a self-regulated industry, and clients should make sure they are working with coaches that are trained, are experienced, and have credentials. Credentialed ICF members, she added, agree to abide by an ethics code. In Utah, State Senator David Hinken's bill to require life coaches to register with DOPL never got past the first hearing. State lawmakers, however, are expected to continue the discussion this month during legislative committee meetings. Frunk said in his letter that he was able to get a measure of accountability because Hildebrand and his ex-wife, who also participated in abusing the children, broke the law and went to prison. But not every ethical violation is a crime, and people who have been taken advantage of emotionally or financially, he said, have little recourse. These individuals are literally ghosts, he wrote, and are free to sell their supposed life experience to anyone willing to purchase it. The Seedy Underbelly of the Life Coaching Industry by Katie Bishop, BBC. Many people turn to life coaches in moments of crisis. Some find what they're looking for in these programs, but others find disappointment, even scams. Can a coach guide you to succeed? A growing cohort of people believe so. They are turning to professionals who promise self-improvement to change attitudes and habits and set them on a course for personal and professional wins. Life coaching is a sprawling, multifaceted industry that can include career coaches, financial coaches, happiness coaches, and empowerment coaches. It's worth billions and only growing. The International Coaching Federation estimates that the industry is worth $4.56 billion. And between 2019 and 2022, the number of life coaches rose by 54%, making it one of the fastest growing careers in the U.S. This boom is happening alongside the people development industry that's emerged throughout the past 15 years, says experts. The pandemic catalyzed two major shifts that provided a business opportunity for would-be life coaches. First, throughout the past several years, many people have struggled with mental health. Additionally, many have also found themselves reevaluating their priorities, goals, and values. The mental health fallout from the pandemic has left many people feeling lost and in need of guidance, says Emily McGuire, who works as a career consultant and life coach. If you look at trends in internet searches regarding life coaches, you'll find that the most common topics that people search for are those that specialize in career coaching, ADHD, confidence, relationships, and anxiety. McGuire also adds that social media has allowed life coaching to boom. It's now common to see individuals selling not just their professional coaching services, but also their lifestyles on platforms including Instagram and TikTok. They promise their course is the route to a similarly ideal life. For plenty of people, life coaching gives them the push and clarity they need, whether they're tackling adversity, pivoting careers, or looking for a kickstart. Yet with rising concerns about the opaque and unregulated nature of the industry, some experts and clients alike say this system leaves people vulnerable to fraudulent practices when anyone calls themselves a life coach. Although some accrediting bodies exist for life coaches, such as the International Coaching Federation, there are no legal standards to enter the profession. Plus, it doesn't cost much to announce you're open for business. With most life coaches charging between $75 and $200 an hour, there are few jobs that promise such high financial reward with such low entry requirements. Many people report their life coaches earn these fees by providing a great service, but the field is something of a wild west, which has left an opening for less qualified, even predatory practitioners to find their way into the industry. A life coach may or may not have a psychology degree. They may or may not have done any official training, and they may not have expertise in the thing they're claiming to, says Jane Marie, a journalist whose podcast, The Dream, explores the reasons why people get caught up in multi-level marketing scams, pyramid schemes, and cults of personality. She's also covered the dark side of life coaching. It's actually a great podcast. I listened to this one. Marie says lack of regulation in the industry means many people seeking life coaches end up falling victims to scams. Angela Loria, 50, discovered life coaching when she was struggling with postnatal depression and had been recently fired from her job. Initially interested in a coaching program focusing primarily on weight loss, Loria signed up for a $2,000 retreat. In the first year alone, I spent $14,000 working with my life coach, and in the years that followed, I probably spent $100,000, she says. She also spent thousands of dollars on additional courses and mentorships with other life coaches that her primary coach recommended. I got sucked into it. Marie says Loria's story is common among people who are scammed by unqualified coaches, adding that the nature of the industry can lead to people being preyed on. Loria also believes that her life coach exploited the fact that many of her clients were women going through big transitions. I think anytime a business is specifically targeting a customer base that is desperate, a scam can be perpetrated, says Marie. 9 times out of 10, it isn't, and that's great. But if you're a bad actor, you could easily become a life coach or a relationship coach and convince people to spend thousands of dollars to achieve an unattainable goal. Unscrupulous coaches charging high amounts for substandard service doesn't just impact individuals like Loria. Life coach McGuire says it also harms the reputation of professionals trying to do good within the industry. Unfortunately, I found this happening numerous times. Someone calls themselves a professional, gives bad advice, and sadly takes advantage of members of the public, she says. These individuals are the ones who provide the industry with a bad name. This shouldn't discourage people from seeking a life coach's services, especially when many clients report they've benefited from the process. Tierney Pretzer, 27, is one such individual. Pretzer, who lives in San Francisco, recently found her life at a crossroads. She was working in a sales and marketing role at a startup and was struggling to decide what she wanted to do with her career and her life. I had a general feeling of being stuck, she says. Pretzer had heard from others that working with a life coach might be the solution. She did, and found the support she'd hoped for. Pretzer moved jobs and says she now has a new way of thinking about big life decisions. She sees the benefit to working with a specialist on the most important thing that we're doing, living. Although there's no standardized degree or required credentials for labeling oneself a life coach, McGuire says organizations such as the Association of Coaching require their members to undertake a certain number of hours of training, while other groups, such as the European Mentoring and Coaching Council, have ethics standards their members must uphold when practicing. Still, a healthy dose of skepticism will go a long way, and Loria recommends proceeding with caution. Ask the coach how much of their business is referral. Call at least 3 former clients, and don't buy from anyone who won't do a call with you directly beforehand, she says. And don't buy from anyone who needs an answer now. Scarcity and urgency is made up.